How many people have been to the grocery store in the last day or two? The warehouse stores like Sam's Club, Costco, anything like you've actually, is that what the scarring is from? I literally, Friday after work, I tried to go into Sam's Club because, as you may have heard on the video I sent out, we're changing the way we're doing the after service meal. By the way, no after service meal today. Mainly because I tried to get in the Sam's Club to buy some like prepackaged foods and stuff like that, walked in the front door, and I literally could not get to the other side of the store because the lines were completely to the back of the store, and you couldn't, it was, so as soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, Lord, I hear you. I'm going home. So if you have been anywhere near a grocery store or you've been on the internet to see some of these videos, there is just incredible hysteria going on in the world around us right now. People are literally panic buying things. If you've tried to buy toilet paper recently, you know that most places are out of stock and can't keep up with the demand for whatever reason. People are just buying so much toilet paper right now. And there have been videos on the internet right now of people literally fighting over toilet paper. There are people having full-out brawls in the middle of stores. I read one account where two men were fighting over a pack of toilet paper at one of the big warehouse stores, and one man took the bottle of wine out of his shopping cart, smashed it, and stabbed the other guy with it. The good news is they probably have plenty of toilet paper in prison right now. So he's covered right now, right? Not only is there all this mass hysteria with buying, panic buying and things like that, but this time of year, I know it's such an irony because up until this year, I've had very little interest in college basketball. And this year, I've actually like started paying attention to it a little bit. And man, the Terps were doing great. And I'm like, oh, man, everything college has been canceled. Not postponed, canceled. There will be no tournaments, no March Madness. Entire seasons have been canceled. Major league sports have, until further notice, suspended seasons. The NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball has canceled spring training. I think the only thing left is like bowling and curling, if you're into that, right? So things are just being canceled and changed. And as you know, we're even changing formats a little bit here at Shore Christian Fellowship. So regardless of what your stance on this virus is, the spread of it, and all the things behind it, this is uncharted territory for most people, right? This is something that we, in our lifetime, probably have never experienced at this level. There's been different pandemics and things like that, but just it seems like this one is like turned up to 11. It's insane the response that the world is kind of jumping into with this virus. So that kind of behooves us to ask ourselves, what does Scripture have to say about how born-again believers in Jesus Christ, what should our response be to this virus, to this pandemic, and to all the stuff that's going on around us in the culture out there? It's by God's grace and by the Holy Spirit that as I was preparing this, I looked at the next passage that we would be coming to in 1 Corinthians, and I see very clearly a prescription for what God would have his church do in the midst of all of this. So we're going to be looking today. We're continuing our series called Contrast. So we're looking this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this morning. Remember, for context, that up until this point, Paul has been addressing divisions within the church. This church was, they were struggling in many areas of the world making its way back into their lives. They were trying to use the wisdom of men instead of the wisdom of God to make their decisions, and that steered them towards this pride, say, I follow Jesus. And he just finished this discourse where he said, we're nothing. Paul is nothing, Apollos is nothing. I planted, Apollos watered, but in the grand scheme of things, it's all God. Every bit of this work is God's work. We're merely God's humble servants. And if you remember, he used that imagery, that agricultural imagery, planting and watering and growing. Today we see where he stays on the same topic, but he switches metaphors and symbolism to a architectural or a building type metaphor. And at the end of the last passage, he said, you are God's field, God's building. And he's going to pick up here, extending out that thought. So Paul, carried along by the Holy Spirit, writes in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So let's agree on one point of everything that's going on around us right now. This virus, COVID-19, coronavirus, is serious, right? This isn't something that we can just, every time I say serious, my phone thinks I said Siri, right? So. Serious, yeah. So this thing is serious, right? Some people downplay it, while some people are on the other end of the spectrum and they're going way overboard with their response. And those are the people who are hoarding and stabbing and things like that. But here's the thing. Regardless of what their response is, we as believers, we should now, as in all occasions, look towards the Word of God for our example and direction as to how we should respond. So this just happens to be the topic and the situation of the day, but our response in all things should be to look to the Word of God for direction, example, and things like that. So here we see Paul, who last passage said he was the planter, says that he came to this church and he laid a foundation, right? He laid a foundation. So we need to understand the importance of this concept of a foundation, right? Critically important to know this. Now, how many of you have houses in this room or stay in apartments or have some sort of shelter that you live in? Whether you know it or not, that house or that shelter has a foundation. Do you know the purpose of the foundation? Dennis is a builder. Dennis, share with the congregation what the purpose of a foundation is. Yep. So you would agree with me then, as our resident professional, that it is very important that that foundation be sound, right? Because if, by chance, that foundation is not sound, the rest of the structure that's built on top of it is what?
Junk.
It's doomed. It'll end up looking something like this. Literally on the way to church, and I didn't have time to get a picture of it, but on one of the side roads on our way to church, there was a house that is collapsing in on itself because the foundation has failed, and just the roof and everything is just falling into it. So it's critical to understand the imagery that Paul's using here, this notion of a foundation. He laid a foundation. Others are building on it, but he laid this foundation. what we can see, and I don't know what was going through his mind as he saw this imagery, but we see a clear reflection of this when we read Jesus' words in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them," note that, "hears these words of mine and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will look like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." I want you to look at the world around you. I want you to see the reaction and the response of the world all around us right now, and see if you can't see what we just read taking place all around us. Because it's such a clear reflection of this. The world around us has not built their lives upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And now that this current storm has come and is battering them, they are starting to fall apart and starting to crumble in one way or another. But here's the thing. Here's our part in this equation. We who have called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, we who believe upon Jesus by faith, have in fact been building our lives upon the rock-solid foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, "I came as a wise master builder, and I laid a foundation." He's talking about the word of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ that declares salvation by grace through faith and not by works. We look at the world around us right now. We see such a clear picture of the futility. Paul, come on up. So let's backtrack a little bit with this entire virus picture. The announcement came out that this virus was out there and it was starting to spread. And we started hearing stories of how quickly it was spreading throughout the Far East and things like that, that basically entire nations were shutting down because of this virus. And one of the very first thing people did was to go out and start buying masks, right? Because, hey, how do you protect yourself from an airborne type disease? You go and you buy masks. And the irony of this is I didn't panic buy these over the last couple days. These are left over from our escape room a few years back that was dealing with an outbreak of a virus. So these people go out and they buy these masks and they put them on. And they're like, "All right, man, I'm ready for this thing." And then the CDC comes out and says, "No, you're not. These masks are completely ineffective for stopping the spread of COVID-19. And these people say, "Well, that's all right for you to think, but I'm going to stand strong against this thing." And they go out and they buy some more masks. And they try to say, and they're like, "Man, if I only just do more and more and more and just keep trying harder and harder and harder to get better at this, I can save myself," right? And in the end, has that changed the truth of the fact that they cannot save themselves? I got 50 of these, brother. Paul, do you feel safer right now?
I don't know.
Do you feel like that if any virus were to come near you, it would just deflect off of you as if it never had a chance?
I feel like I can't breathe. A little oxygen would help.
That's a good point. All right, brother. Give Paul a hand. You can keep those. There's a big market for those on eBay right now. So college fund right there, man. So these people are striving to get masks, things that they think will save them. And when that didn't work, now it's hand sanitizer, and now it's toilet paper. I don't know what they're using it for. But they think that they can save themselves, and if one's not enough, they'll try harder, and they'll try harder, and they keep heaping these efforts into saving themselves, hoping that all of these things that they're doing will be just enough to save them in the end. But the gospel of Jesus Christ says that this is a fool's errand, that no works will ever save, that it's through Jesus Christ and his completed work on the cross alone. Amen? Yeah. So no matter how hard they try, man, all we're seeing is the truth of the gospel playing itself out around us. They're building on sinking sand. Their lives are crumbling, and their best efforts will never be enough. But we, church, are not in that boat. We know and we understand. We have the firm foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have been saved by grace through faith alone. Amen? And that foundation that we stand upon is perfect and it's permanent. That foundation will withstand storms and trials. That foundation finds its trueness in the utter perfection of our chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. It's not founded upon CDC reports, spread tracking, resistance, things like that. It is built upon Jesus Christ alone. And at the core of this foundation are the principles of our faith, realities that should shape our lives and our response is when the storms and trials come. Principles like faith, hope, love. Principles such as fear being cast out by the perfect love of our Savior. Confidence and assurance that regardless of what comes, we have a strong and steadfast hope because of the cross and because of the hope that comes by the resurrection. So basically, at the foundational level, the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ declares to us something so special and beautiful in times like this. It declares to us that ultimately, it doesn't matter what happens to these bodies. It doesn't matter what happens to these bodies because our hope is in the promise of God that this world is not our home. One day we will all be gathered to him in our better homeland to receive new glorified bodies, no longer susceptible to sickness, sin, or strife, to spend eternity in his perfect presence. And it's upon that foundation that we should be building lives of confidence free from fear. Amen? So ultimately, it doesn't matter what happens to us in these bodies. However, this passage that we've just read is clear that while it doesn't matter what happens to these bodies, it matters what we do while we're in these bodies. It doesn't matter what happens to these bodies. Though my flesh should be destroyed, but with my eyes I shall see God because my Redeemer lives. But that doesn't excuse us from what God called for Christ to champion these bodies. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, to champion the causes of faith, hope, and love. And this passage says that all of our works will one day be tested by fire to see if they were precious or worthless. And only those works that were worthwhile in God's economy will stand that test. Everything else will be revealed as fruitless and wasteful and worthless. Understand that. Every work work will be tested, including church, our response to what's happening around us right now. Every work will be tested. So how should we, as God's redeemed church, respond? Well, the 10,000-foot answer that should be our first and foremost go-to is according to Scripture. And Paul has given us a drill down into this that says, according to the grace of God that we have been given, we should respond as those who stand upon that rock-solid foundation of Christ Jesus and the unshakable hope that we have in him. While the spirit of fear is running amok all around us, by contrast, we are to live according to the truth that we have not been given the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, Dennis quoted it earlier, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love, self-control." So this tells me that when fear tries to convince you otherwise, that you are susceptible to be fearful, that you should be shaken in times like this, this passage in the truth of Scripture tells me that you have been set free from fear by the perfect love of Christ, and now you can operate in the self-control that comes by obedience to the Holy Spirit. We operate not in panic, not in anxiety, but in self-control, relying on the power of the gospel of Christ at work in us. So we dismiss fear then, but don't think that it won't come back. And when fear tries to work its way back around to you again, you stand upon the foundational truth of Scripture that tells us in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. It doesn't say don't worry about the small stuff, but when big stuff comes, man, start to worry. It says do not be anxious about anything, but in what? Everything. Everything. God didn't have a list made up that fit that bill, and now that this is a so-called new virus, this was off his radar. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when fear comes, and it will, I promise you that fear is going to try to come and grip you and shake you and convince you otherwise. Grab that thing and drag its dead, lifeless carcass to the foot of the cross and leave it there. Walk away from it in the knowledge that the one who overcame death itself has secured for you an inheritance and eternal life that is unshakable, imperishable, undefilable, and unfading. And let your thanksgiving be the testimony of your confidence in that and your acknowledgement of that. You can walk away and say, God, I see the rest of the world falling apart in fear to this. Thank you that I don't have to worry. Thank you that you are in control of all things, including this. We aren't shaken. We don't fear. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for This is so beautiful, because they're telling us, be socially distanced. Stay away from people. Don't fear, don't be dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We aren't shaken. We aren't fearful. And that doesn't come out of hubris or pride, like, I'm too strong for this virus. It's got nothing on me. We don't do it that way. Instead, we do it out of faith in the unfailing promises of God that declare that we will be saved from even this as well as from far greater things to come. As we said, this is kind of uncharted territories. We've never seen the world at such an edge where things have just been grinding to a halt, people are infighting and things like that. It's insanity on a whole new level. But Scripture tells us this is nothing compared to things to come. Wars, rumors of war, famine, people falling away, basics of love just growing cold. And then you dare step into Revelation and read when Christ cracked open the sky and these people who were so sure of their own salvation, crawling and hiding under rocks, pleading for mountains to drop on them to hide them from the face of the one who is to come. So this is crazy and this is insanity. And God says, you've not seen anything yet. So I believe fully that God is giving us this time right now as an opportunity to show our faith and our confidence in him and in his promises so that we would be ever more prepared for when the really bad stuff starts to happen. Amen? We know, church, Chris just preached on it last week. We know that death has no more dominion over us any longer. Death has been defeated. So even if by God's sovereignty we should come in contact with this virus and by some chance we should even lose our lives to this virus, we have the promises of God that says, because Christ has risen, so you too shall rise. That is the confidence that we have. That doesn't mean we're flippant or dismissive of other people's fears around us. That means that we stand firm upon that, and we are that calming, peaceful presence that this world needs right now. The world needs the church to stand upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ right now. We cannot allow ourselves to be swept up in the chaos that fear is sowing all around us. Instead, we trust that God has our future secure, regardless of what happens in the meantime. And we respond, not in fear, but in love. Our God is love. He displayed love upon the cross. He calls us then to operate and emanate love to those around us. So within the church of Jesus Christ, we need to be about the business of reminding one another of this truth, this unshakable truth that has crushed the head of fear. We need to be there reassuring and encouraging one another as fear starts to whisper and it is relentless that, yes, it's relentless, but God still, therefore, we will not fear. Then as the church, we stand unshakable upon that foundation. And here's what happens. The world around us looks to the church and sees that we're not losing our minds, responding out of fear, and they'll take note. And by God's grace, they will seek to find out why. And man, now that's when it's our opportunity for these precious works that God has preordained for us. So within the church, we're encouraging, we're standing firm. Within and outside the church, we're to be constantly mindful of others. I'm going to say that again. We are to be mindful of others as we follow all of these protocols and procedures and all of these things that are going on set forth by officials and medical organizations, and we do it without grumbling. We do it without grumbling or minimizing people's concerns. We live out Scripture that says we consider others as more important than ourselves, because that is the heart of loving our neighbors. Matt and I were talking yesterday. It's like, man, if people would only respond in common sense, and Matt said, well, if people would just love their neighbor, amen, amen. Because if we did that and sought to seek them as greater than ourselves instead of just dismissing their concerns, man, what a pathway for the gospel. We consider them more important. Remember, Jesus said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. And Jesus is the one who said, love your neighbor as yourself. So we put that into practice as we stand upon the foundation of the gospel. And we take this opportunity. Man, Chris, I am so glad you're here today, because in the many trainings that I've attended with your witnessing different trainings and things like that, everything that you tell us is, isn't it nice that God put this grocery store here for me to go, and or God planned this event before the foundation of time for me to have an opportunity to go preach the gospel. God knew what was going to happen in March of 2020. And God has preordained his church to be the light in the darkness right now. Now is our opportunity to point people who are already on edge. Everyone's awareness is heightened for things like health and life and death. Man, why not go to them and say, man, tell me about your concerns about this virus, and give them a chance, listen to what they're saying, and then use that as an opportunity to say, I understand your concerns, but there's something so much more pervasive than the coronavirus, sin and death and judgment, and everyone's got it. And we use that as an inroads to preach the gospel powerfully to them in that place. God has placed this incredible opportunity before us. And I don't say that to say, man, I'm so glad that this virus is here. It's not what I'm saying. This is honoring God's sovereignty and recognizing the things that he's putting in front of us as the church of Jesus Christ. Marching orders that we've already received to go and preach the gospel. God has said, here is another inroads for you to do that. And I pray that we would do that, because how we respond right now will be judged on that day. Church, may we build with precious things that glorify him and draw people to him, holding fast to the confident hope that we have been given through the cross of Christ and his resurrection from the dead. I was here yesterday afternoon testing out the live stream a couple times, just making sure everything was kosher and things like that. So to test what it would sound like with music, I fired up YouTube and just let the playlist go. And I wasn't really paying that much attention, but then I heard this song start playing, and I'd never heard it before. And I rewound it and listened to it again, and I pulled up the lyrics, and it just grasped me, because it is so pertinent for such a time like this. So I'm going to have the guys pop that video up and check it out. It has the lyrics on it. If you know it, man, worship along with this, because this is such a powerful song that speaks to the assurance that we have in Christ. Amen?
I found in you, I won't be shaken.
Pray with me this morning, church. Father God, we thank you that our hope is secure. Father, it's steadfast and unfailing. And upon that rock, Lord, we can stand unshaken. And we will be unmoved by the waves and the winds and everything else that would seek to buffet us. God, we stand resilient. God, we stand because of your cross. Father, help us in these troubling times, Lord, to not only look to the cross, to remember your promises, but also to be about the business of pointing others to it. Father, many souls are being blown about right now, and they need the surety of your cross, your resurrection. God, they need that solid foundation. God, pour out your Holy Spirit. Father, awaken your church to see this opportunity that stands before us to move in the power of the gospel. And Father, by your grace, open blinded eyes of your gospel. Father, we know that salvation is found nowhere else, and people are scratching and grasping everywhere they can to find salvation. God, we have the answer. Help us to share it now, boldly and confidently. And at the same time, Lord, may we dismiss any fear that would come to shake us. God, as we stand firm in these things, Lord, may the world come to us. And may we always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have in you. God, we love you. We thank you for the way that you have made for us to be passed over by every virus, every tribulation, every trouble, knowing that regardless of what happens on this earth, we will one day stand face to face and we will have eternal life in you and with you. God, remind us again and again and again. Father, drive us to your word and drive us to our knees in humility to seek your face, to hear from you, to know what you would have us do. God, we thank you for this opportunity. Move upon us and through us. Father, I pray for any in this room or any who are sitting at home, maybe listening to this message, God, that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Father, open their eyes. Open their ears. Father, move upon their hearts by your Spirit. God, help them to see and to know the futility of their works that they will never save. But you, in your grace, have freely given us the gift of eternal life through your Son by his work on the cross. Father, bring them to that place of humility, of understanding their need of you and surrendering finally and fully to what you have done. If there's any in this room that haven't done that, that have any questions, please see myself or one of the elders or any of the brothers and sisters in Christ here, and we will happily explain it to you and pray with you. We will pour out our lives that you might know this good Savior that we serve. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day where we've been able to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, protect us as we leave this place. Lord, may your hedge of protection be upon every single family represented here. And Father, help us to move in the works you've laid ahead of us. In Jesus' name.